Okay, for the past two Sundays, we have had studying men from the Old Testament. So I thought this morning that we would look at a character from the New Testament. And while the last 2 weeks have been fairly obscure characters, this one's not an obscure character. And all of you know who this character is. But there's a tremendous amount that we can learn by studying him. When I was young, my parents took me to... I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, and my parents took me to church, I think, when I was a week old. And so I grew up in Sunday school, and at that time we had a group for boys called RAs, Royal Ambassadors, and well, went through the whole route, you know, everything. Every time the church, we lived just in walking distance of church, and so every time the door was open, I was there. And I remember this song from as far back as I could have a memory. I'm not exactly sure when memory starts. The child psychologists are really not sure either. But I suppose maybe about three or four. Four or five for sure, but I remember this song, and I'm no singer, but I want to introduce this character to you with this song, which I think that you all will recognize. Here we go. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. I remember that song, and Zacchaeus has always been a character that has always I've been able to relate to. Primarily because he was a short little guy. And so that's who we're going to be talking about today. If you'll join me, please, in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to head in and I'm going to read all the verses so I don't have to worry about leaving out a verse. So we'll just get the whole story right here at the very beginning. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful weather. It's just so pretty. I know how bad we need rain, but yesterday and today are just absolutely gorgeous days. And it's what we look forward to in the fall, I think. Luke chapter 19. The heading in my Bible is Christ Abides with Zacchaeus. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not, because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you please would enlighten our minds through the work of the Holy Spirit. Please help me to rightly divide thy truth. Help us to center our hearts and our minds, Lord, around your word this morning. And help us to gain understanding from it. In Christ's name I pray, amen. This is a beautiful picture in Scripture. It's just wonderful Scripture. The key verse is chapter 19, verse 9. Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That verse is actually the key verse for Luke and the book of Luke. And so it's a very, very important part of this story about Zacchaeus, and this beautiful picture that we have in Scripture. We see a sinner seeking the Savior. We also see the Savior seeking the sinner. Well, what was the setting for the story? Well, the setting is in Jericho. The people thought, remember, this is just about a week before the crucifixion is to take place. And so Christ is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, to the triumphal parade we celebrate on Palm Sunday, where they laid the palms down for him and they spread their coats for him. And he was on a donkey riding through, because a lot of them had missed, including some of his disciples, had missed the point of Christ coming. They were fully expecting that this man who worked miracles, who called himself the Messiah, was going to set up an earthly kingdom and he was going to sit on the throne. And so when he comes to Jericho, everybody in town knows that the Messiah has come. So we see this. They think, the crowd thinking that he is the Messiah, that he's going to sit on David's throne. They had just come from Bethany. Bethany is a small village outside of Jericho, not far from Jericho and also not far from Jerusalem. Now, you remember Bethany and what we remember about Bethany. What do we remember about Bethany? Mary and his son Lazarus. And we remember the story that Christ had raised Lazarus from the dead. These people knew it. These people knew. This is the man who is coming through here who raised a man from Lazarus from the dead. On his way into and in Jericho, into the city, he heals two blind men who have been blind from birth. One of them, Bartimaeus, in chapter 18, gives us the account of Christ's healing of Bartimaeus. So this also just adds to the spectacle of everyone wanting to see the Messiah, or this man that they thought would be the Messiah and set up his throne. Zacchaeus knew that he was coming. Zacchaeus wanted to see him along with the crowd. Everyone wanted to see Jesus. Just like today, famous person comes. Everybody wants to go see the famous person and want to flock to see him. And so everyone in Jericho wanted to see Jesus. We read here about Zacchaeus and his resourcefulness. Zacchaeus means, by the way, his name means pure or just. Now, he was anything but pure, and he was certainly not just. He was a publican. He was a tax commissioner. We don't like getting tax bills today in the mail. My taxes in Buncombe County have doubled over the last tax assessment that came. I didn't like getting that tax assessment in the mail. I have to pay taxes for my female dog. When I had a female dog, that one really got me. Taxes are not popular, and people who collect taxes are usually not popular either. And Zacchaeus certainly was very, very, very disliked. He was a tax commissioner. He worked for the Roman government, and he had all the tax collectors working under him, so that not only was he paid by the Romans, he also got paid by the tax collectors that worked for him. The Bible records here that he was a very rich man in a very rich city. Jericho was a trade center. It was a trade center for the balsam trade. Now, you know what balsam wood is. It's a very light wood, and in biblical times, it was a very sought-after wood. And so Jericho being a trade center and all the money coming in and knowing that Zacchaeus is the tax commissioner and he's collecting taxes from all these people and all this trade, you can understand that he had a lot of money. He was very wealthy. As I've said, as a tax collector, he supervised others and he collected an agreed upon amount from the Romans, then as much as could be added to what the Romans wanted, he could get. And he did that. But from what Scripture shows us and what Scripture implies, Zacchaeus was feeling guilty. Zacchaeus wanted help. And most of all, he wanted peace. All of us know the money and all the earthly possessions that go with it make a person comfortable, but do not give a person real inner peace. And Zacchaeus was searching. And we also know from what Scripture teaches us and from what we believe that the Holy Spirit was working within him to draw him to salvation. And so he goes to an unprecedented length here to see Christ and to learn more about him. He had heard that Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. He knew that. He may have also known that one of Christ's disciples was also a tax collector. And who was that?
Matthew.
Christ's disciple was a tax collector. Zacchaeus probably knew that. So he knew that Christ had accepted sinners and had accepted tax collectors. And he wanted to see Christ. He wanted to see Jesus, but he could not, because the crowd prevented it. Now remember that the crowd were made up of people that didn't like Zacchaeus. And he's a little guy to begin with. And so when the crowds line up to see Jesus go by, Zacchaeus can't get through. And he's back here at the back, trying to get in a place so that he can see Christ. And if you're in your mind's eye, you can just kind of see a little short, despised Jewish guy trying his best to pry his way through the crowd so that he can get a front row or a front standing point. And they're just not going to let him by. They won't let him. I can imagine they're saying, who is that? Zacchaeus back there? No way is he going to get in front of me. This is one time when I have the upper hand here, and he is a cheat, and he's a publican, and he doubles and triples our taxes, and he lives in a very beautiful place, and he's rich, and we don't like him, and no, I am not moving for Zacchaeus. And so they built a wall of people. Zacchaeus couldn't get through. He was, in a way, discriminated against. Short men are often discriminated against. Now, unless you're short, you don't understand that. But I can tell you that's true. This is not a short man's world. Did you know that a short man cannot get elected as president? Uh-uh. Oh, you haven't tried. Well, maybe it'll work. Short men. One man said to me once when I was a principal, he had to come into my office because I had to talk to him about his son who was really misbehaving. And he came in my office. I met him at the office door, and he was a big, huge guy. And he looked at me, and he looked down at me, and he said, "You're the principal?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And he said, again, he said, "You're the principal?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And he said, "I thought only big guys were principals." And I said, "Well, maybe in your time and the people that you came in contact with," and I do remember, when I was in high school, we had a huge guy that was principal of the high school. And that huge guy put, now this back in the 60s when you could do this, he had a big, thick leather strap. And he put it in his back pocket. And this big, huge guy would walk down the hall like this, with that big, thick leather belt in his back pocket. And everybody just went. And all the high schoolers got really quiet. And you did not want to go to his office. If a teacher said those dreaded words, "If you don't straighten up, you're going to see the principal." And that all it took was to just say that, and everybody got deadly quiet. Because he didn't mind laying that leather strap on the seat of learning. And he was a huge guy. So this guy looks at me and says, "You're the principal?" Little men are discriminated against, especially if they have big wives. I'm just kidding. And it can be a humbling experience. Zacchaeus was discriminated against, and he had a humbling experience. They wouldn't let him through. They were not going to let him see Christ. So, being very resourceful, he found a place. He looked for a place that he could see. Now, this is the sinner seeking the Savior. Okay? So here is the sinner seeking the Savior. And I really believe this is the Holy Spirit working within him to draw him to Christ. And so here he is seeking a place where he can see the Savior. He ran ahead of the crowd and he managed to find a tree. Now, a man in his position, for a man in his position to run, was very undignified. But he ran. He really wanted to see Christ. And so here is this rich man, hated publican, tax collector, running so that he can find a tree, so that he can climb a tree. Very undignified. So he climbed, the Bible tells us, a sycamore tree. Now, sycamore, as I understand it, and what the commentaries said, a sycamore tree would be more like a fig tree. And this particular tree that he found must have had branches that weren't too high off the ground so that he could jump and grab on a branch and climb. Now, again, here is this this wealthy man climbing a tree like a monkey. And so he climbs up this tree and he gets out on a limb so that he can see Christ come by. Money wasn't enough. He was desperate to see Jesus. And in verses 5 through 7, we see a great surprise. Let's look at verse 5 again. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Come down, Zacchaeus. The Lord knew Zacchaeus was in the fig tree. This is the Savior seeking the sinner. He knew Zacchaeus was in the fig tree. This was probably the kindest words that Zacchaeus had heard in a very long time. And they're very interesting words to us. He's saying to this man of high standing in his own eyes, a very wealthy man, and a very dignified personality and person, come down. Zacchaeus, come down. Now think about your own salvation experience. For all of us that have experienced God's grace, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, drawing us to Him and drawing us to the point of salvation where we put our faith and trust in Christ, we've all had to come down. Man must come down for salvation. Do you know, that was my wife's grandmother's biggest problem. My wife prayed for her grandmother for years and years. All through college, my wife would write letters to her grandmother who lived in Louisiana, very proud Southern woman, very strong Southern woman who had to be the leader in the family because of the alcoholic husband, who pretty much raised the children on her own, who made her own living. She didn't depend on her husband for making her own living. It just goes on and on and on. This woman was a very proud Southern woman. And my wife was so burdened for her grandmother's salvation that she would write her a letter about once a month, and she'd put tracts in the letters begging her grandmother to come to Christ. And finally, my wife went home, I believe it was her senior year, for a weekend at home, and her daddy said to her, Marion, don't send Mama any more of your letters. And Marion said, why? And Grandma had complained to her son, my wife's dad, that these letters were really bothering her. And she wanted the letters stopped. She didn't want to be asked anymore to be saved. She'd had it. She was a very proud woman. She even carried a Dillinger pistol with her.
Derringer.
Derringer pistol. She carried it in her purse with her. And you just didn't bother this lady. She would not come down. No way would she come down to the point where she said, I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned. I admit I need God in my life. I cannot go on without God. She would not to the day she died. And as far as we know, she died and went to a Christless eternity. Listen, folks, all of us know people like that. They will not come down. A man cannot be saved unless he's willing to come down and say, I take myself off the throne. I trust Christ for my salvation. I admit that I'm a sinner and I've done wrong. There is no good within me. No matter how many good deeds I do, no matter how much I go to church, no matter how many times I've received baptism or been through the water, it's just not enough. I must come down. I must lower myself and accept Christ. Zacchaeus came down. He was happy to come down. The Bible tells us joyously he came down. Remember his situation here. And remember that for the first time in his life, somebody's going to be kind to him, and it's the Messiah. And he's going to give him the peace that he's been looking for. And so he comes down, and Christ says something very interesting. You know, here in the South too, we never invite ourselves to somebody's house. You always wait on an invitation. Unless maybe it might be family who come and go all the time and really is no big thing. They just come. Well, I grew up in a house and in a home where we never went anywhere unless we were invited. And then that was just the social custom. You just don't go unless you're invited. And then the day before you go, you call and say, you remember that you still want me to come tomorrow? Just to make sure that it's all right and they haven't forgotten. Well, this is the first, one of the two times in Scripture that Christ invites himself to someone's house. Christ invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. He said, I'm going to your house today. Now, this, no doubt, made Zacchaeus even more happy to know that Christ was accepting him and was coming to his house. And so Zacchaeus, then a very happy person, he's very joyful in verses 5 through 7. He was very surprised that Christ saw him. Christ's greeting was probably the first words of kindness that he'd heard in a very long time. But Christ knew his name. He also knew Christ knew his heart, and he also knew his name. Because he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Now that's wonderful too. I don't know about you, but that warms my heart to know that we have a personal God. It's a thought that I have a very hard time wrapping my mind around, and I have to admit that I struggle with this a good many times. And I especially struggled with it when we were in Korea and I saw millions living in a city of 5 million people. And to go out on the street and to just see shoulder to shoulder people everywhere, nothing but people, millions of people, to realize that God knows us personally. And He loves each one of us personally. And He knows our names. He knows who we are. He knows our hearts. He knows what our needs are. I don't know about you, but like the lady that was in a church service once, long time ago, the preacher was preaching. Boy, he was preaching hot and heavy. And he was preaching about the second coming and how the saints are going to be raptured. And this beautiful white-haired old lady sitting right down the pew from my wife, maybe 3 or 4 feet down the pew, let out this shout. And boy, was it ever a shout. It was glory! My wife came this high off the pew. Scared her to death. Well, I don't know about you, but when I hear this, when Christ looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down, it makes me want to say, glory! He knows me. He knows Zacchaeus. He knew all about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is going to be saved here by putting his faith and trust in Christ. That's something to shout about. We're so reserved when we get to a point in our church service. Those of us who are inclined to say amen don't really say amen, preacher. We kind of, amen. And we keep going on. This is a point of great happiness, not only for Zacchaeus, but for each one of us that have come to know Christ as Savior. He knows us. Whatever your need is there this morning, He knows your need. He knows. This was a joyful time. I think that when Christ says, Zacchaeus, come down, that he about fell out of the tree. His heart was prepared. His heart was prepared for Christ's visits to his house. Zacchaeus, no doubt, when they got there, made a great feast for Jesus. He came down joyfully. Now, to compare and contrast, if you wanted to look back, well, let's look back. Have time. Luke chapter 18. Just go back one chapter. Start with verse 18, and let's read through to verse 25. This is a compare and contrast. To be a good reader, you need to be able to compare and contrast. So, here we go. Luke chapter 18. Now, my Bible labels this the rich young ruler. Verse 18. Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Verse 21. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. What happens in verse 23? But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So Luke wrote in the chapter before Zacchaeus about another rich man. That has a sad ending. Because when the rich man, the rich young ruler, heard that he'd done everything that he was supposed to do, but there was still something else, he still had eye on the throne because he had great riches. When he heard that he had to get rid, Christ said, okay, give away your riches. He wouldn't come to Christ because he wouldn't give up his riches. What is it about great wealth and riches that keep people from salvation? What is it? What kept him from coming to Christ?
He wouldn't see a need.
He saw no need. He had everything he needed.
But at the same time, the very rich seem to be the most insecure. Always worried about losing it the most. And it
sometimes
doesn't seem like it would work out.
Sometimes. There are some rich people that are very, if you said, are you happy today? They say, yeah, I'm happy. Yes, Richard.
I think Chip has a good point. He did come seeking eternal life. He knew his need. I think his problem was he went to turn away from his covetousness. If you look at the fact that Christ put all the commandments before him, he left out don't covet. And when he said, one thing you lack is, that was saying, let's see if you'll leave your coveting. And I don't think he'd do it. And that was the point. He wouldn't leave his sin. And so he wouldn't have the Savior.
Good. That's it. Zacchaeus had no problem. He came down. He took Christ. He was converted. He was saved. Lots of money can make you feel self-sufficient and can rob you of faith. The crowd murmured. We see this in verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained. They murmured. Christ was always ready to suffer the insults and the transgressions of others. He bore our sins on himself, and with his stripes we are healed. He heard their murmuring. Blind pride kept them from accepting Christ. Let's look at Zacchaeus' repentance in verses 8, 9, and 10. Luke records the transformation which took place in Zacchaeus. True salvation changes everything. And it's certainly shown here in what Zacchaeus does in verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. He went far beyond what the law required that he do in repayment. He says, I'm going to give half of my goods and I'm going to give back fourfold what I have taken. And he speaks directly to Jesus. He reduced his living to one half at one stroke. The word if here really means since. It was a confession of his wickedness. He says, I restore fourfold. He makes a vow, doing more than what the law requires. Half of my income would I give to the poor. The Pharisees at the same time were bragging because they doubled their tithe. And about giving a fifth to the poor. He would restore four times the amount he had taken unfairly. Much more than the law required. This was a great confession. Zacchaeus had just found incomprehensible spiritual riches. The Romans had given him the right to as much as he could collect. He saw himself for what he was, and his restitution was proof of his repentance. Jesus did not expect him to change his job, which is very interesting. He didn't tell him, stop being a tax collector. He didn't expect him to change his job. And I suspect maybe he continued on with this, but he did it in the right way. He could conduct his business, but he would conduct his business with fairness from this point on. This day in verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Now this is interesting. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, a Jew, He accepts him and points out that he's a Jew. This is important for Zacchaeus because the Jews that he took money from felt that Zacchaeus had given up his Jewish birthright to be a tax collector and work for the Romans. They hated tax collectors so much that they looked at him as being a traitor and giving up his Jewish heritage. Christ declares then that he is a Jew, the son of Abraham. And we have then in verse 10 again the theme of the book. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is Christ, Son of Man is Christ's favorite name for himself. Though perfect God, he was also perfect man. He represented man suffering for the sins of mankind. He came, he gladly leaving the bliss of heaven, to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the very heart of the gospel message. Mankind is lost. We need a Savior. Christ is still seeking the lost. Every man who hears his voice and opens the door to his heart, to him he will find salvation. Just as Zacchaeus, that man will then become a child of God. Unbelief, unwillingness to surrender to God will keep men from salvation. L.R. Scarborough has written, death will heal the loss of a fortune. Death will heal the loss of the mind. Death will heal the loss of a character. But I will tell you, my friends, there is no healing except in the blood of Jesus Christ for the loss of a soul. Today, people are just like Zacchaeus. Outwardly, we have it all together, and they have it all together. But souls are never satisfied until faith in Christ brings salvation and the peace that passeth all understanding. Praise the Lord. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord. So much that it's hard for us to express our thankfulness for the fact that Christ came and died for us, that His blood would be a remission for our sins. We can place our faith and trust in Him, knowing that someday we'll be with Him, with You in glory. Please help us to enjoy our salvation so much and rejoice in our salvation so much that those people that we come in contact with on a daily basis will have to say, why are we so different? So that in our witness to them, they might also have a desire, be drawn by the Holy Spirit to faith in Christ, in whose name I pray, amen.